Now look at Proverbs 22 and verse number 26. And the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. All right? Childhood is so, so pliable. There's so many things that they can learn when they're about five below. And that I hope that you don't miss that. If you have children five and below, take the time to instruct them consistently. Consistently. And in a consistent, habitual teaching and repetition can ingrain in them some good habits when they're young. One thing that I admire my wife, and I'm revealing some things to you. I hope that you're not uncomfortable the way I do that. And my wife and I agree to this, and we've talked about it, is the fact that she is a water drinker. She only drinks water. How did that happen? Because she grew up drinking water at a very young age. And she credits that, and she doesn't drink as bad as the things I drink. I drink soda all the time. I'm waiting for the time when my urologist says, you have kidney stones. I'm not going to be surprised. I said, Pastor, then do something about it. I know I'm trying. That's why I got a six-pack of cherry Pepsi on the way down on our cooler. And guess what my wife has? A case of water. That's what she's going to be doing driving down. That doesn't help me when I'm driving. A case of water doesn't do anything but makes me go to the bathroom. So a cherry Pepsi diet is something that I could go and enjoy and still have to go to the bathroom, you know. But that's what we do. But I'm learning. There's some of you that are advocate of health. You're looking at me right now because I've talked to you. And you say, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to be healthy. So help me out. But some of those things are learned when they're young. You know why I like soda? In the Philippines, at the time that I grew up in there, water was very, very polluted. And it was better for us to drink from a bottle than it is for us to drink from the faucet. And so we've learned, my mom learned, that's what we bought, 2-liter soda every time we ate that. And then my gift for doing anything, my reward for doing anything that I did right, guess what? Mom says, here's 10 pesos, and that meant a lot back then. That doesn't mean nothing now. And I would go to the sari-sari store, the convenience store, and guess what I would buy? I would buy soda. And then, you know, there was deposit at the time, and the 10 pesos couldn't pay for the deposit. And so I said, can you put it on a plastic bag? And so they put it on a plastic bag, and they poured the soda, and I got a little bit of a straw, and that's how I drank soda. And I just, that was what I thought. And so as I grew up in America, remember those days when you had mugs? Who still does that? 52-ounce mug. Remember those big mugs? Y'all are not. Y'all, New York is putting some stipulation on some of our soda. But remember the big 52-ounce mug. Some of you had 72-ounce mugs. You had a little thermos, and remember, you would go to places, you would buy the thermos, advertising a certain gas company. Why? Because you can go anytime and fill it up. Whoosh on the fountain. Whoosh on the fountain. Everybody remember that? Y'all are all innocent. No wicked habits. Man, I had a 52-ounce mug. Five of them. Right? So I have a problem. I'm admitting it to you. I have a problem. Grandma, Grandpa, I'm so sorry. I have problems. I need your help, all right? I need to drink more water. We are not born respectful. It is something taught. It is something that somebody that loves us cares enough to take time to instruct us. No kid is born respectful. No kid. I don't care how good they are. Well, they're quiet. Well, it's nicer to do with somebody that's quiet than somebody that's wild. I understand that. But it doesn't mean they're respectful. All right? There are some quiet people that are inwardly raging. And I've heard it before, and I don't know if it's any true, but sometimes you have to watch out for those that are quiet. Because a lot of times they're involved in murders, all right? And I know how much true that is, but be careful those quiet people. I'd rather know what I'm getting. You know, all right, man, that kid. Rather than that kid that's... And then it becomes Chucky, you know, with a knife. And it's going to hurt you. And so That's up to you. If you want quiet kids, go ahead. Have quiet kids. I can't have them. By the genes, I can't have them. All my kids are crazy. And so pray for us. Pray for us. I won over with my wife. She's quiet. My kids are not. You know that. I don't have to tell you. But we have to train them. All right? And there's some factors involved when they become teenagers when the training starts to show. The training starts to show. All right? Really, it should be done when they're young. But whatever you have trained them when they're young, teenage years is often what we equivalent people that are being rebellious. That's when they start showing in our minds disrespect or rebellion to all those that are older than them or their peers, and they're starting to act bad, right? But really, that stems way back when they were young, all right? It's just that the teenage years now, they can have, maybe in their mind, they can now start talking and start really giving you some thought to their rebellion. When they're little kids, they don't know, all right? They're just acting childish. But when they're a teenager, there's some reasons now. They have come to reason, and they know now why they do what they do. They hide better. They say things better, all right? But yet they start to reveal to you what's really in their heart, all right? And so if we're raising teenagers, I'm one of them, and I since I spoke last week, I just looked in my mind how many people in our church are still raising teenagers. Even how old Pastor Seth is. He still has a teenager. And I'm like, wow, there's a lot of people that are raising teenagers. And some of you have raised your kids way over that. They're young adults. But you can see some of these things still happening in their life. They're developing to be on their own. They're formulating what they're going to do. They're establishing in their mind their standards. They're deciding what they're going to do about God. They're deciding what they're going to do about the Bible. They're deciding what they're going to do about the church that you go to, mom and dad. They're deciding all of those at this time. And so as parents and as grandparents, help the parents out, tag teaming here, helping together. And as a community of believers in this local church, let's tag team to help one another to raise teenagers and cultivate to them respect rather than rebellion. Do we want young people raised in this church exhibiting respect or exhibiting rebellion? What do we want? Respect. And so it doesn't come as Moses. It doesn't come without any effort, and it doesn't come with any acknowledgement. We can't just say, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not even going to think about it. I know, but I don't want to. And it's just going to turn out right. And we think sometimes, well, age will teach them. All right, let's put that to the test. Really? Age will make them better? Time? Just let them have time. It will wear out. Some of the parents are wore out. And the grandparents are wore out. But the kids are saying, I just got started. Time doesn't always change. And maturity doesn't always come just because time happens. Now, life has a way of abruptly teaching lessons. Jail has a way of scaring a young person and saying, you're going to jail. Right? There's some adverse things that happen. Well, I don't want to listen to nobody. I'm going to go to the military. Go to the military. Boom! You got guys yelling at you all the time for every little thing that your mother didn't even know. But now this person's yelling at you all the time now. Get up, go to bed. Get up, go to bed. Get up, go to bed. Get yourself up. Clean your clothes. And they get an abrupt lesson on respect. Can we do better than that, church, as a corporate group of men and women that love God, that are led by the Holy Ghost, led by the Bible, help one another raise a group of children that exhibit respect rather than rebellion? And it's going to take some humility. On all of us, you need to take some patience. Some of you don't have children, and you come down on a child like a maybe you were raised that way. Maybe your parents, that's the way they did it. And so you're exhibiting the same reaction that you've been reacted to by your parents. Okay, I understand that. But we can learn to help one another. Now, parents, don't leave the church to raise your children. That's not the church job. All right? It's your job. I'm sure that the nursery is not interested in potty training any of your kids. That is your job. That is your job. Okay? So there is a line where we stand on some of these things as a corporate church. As a pastor, I can help you raise your children, but I'm not the ultimate responsible. Okay? You are. Your junior church can be a supplement and a help and a team in this, but you have to raise your own children. Okay? So we looked at factors, and we talked about number one, it's in review, when they hear their parents criticize authority. There's other authorities around their life. Maybe they go to a school, a Christian school, maybe even public school, and you criticize their teachers, all right? Maybe they go to a church, and they have junior church workers. They have primary church workers. They have a toddler nursery. Maybe they have clubs, or maybe they have a pastor, or they have a youth pastor, or maybe they have those things, and you openly criticize those authorities in front of them. You're in danger because Romans 13 says authority only comes from one place, God. And so when you have that authority, God placed you to have that authority. And the people that are in authority of your children, God also places in there. God says God gave us teachers. Those are places of authority and leadership, right? They lead. So they're in position of those things. And so if you go against them, if you fight them, then you're going to have problem. If there is inconsistency in the authorities in your children's life, in the teenage life, they will see the inconsistency. There's one thing, there's one authority at church that they believe something, and my parents believe something different at our church. The pastor says dating probably should not be a good idea, but the parent says it's okay. You can date anybody as long as you do it in our house. And we wonder why our children have confusion and have a hard time. I'm not trying to make us uniform. That's not my job either. But let's work together and let's be biblical. And let's get the Bible into all of this. As the pastor, I need to give you what the Bible says. As a parent, you need to come up with what the Bible says. And there's some liberties that we might defer in where we land on some of our standards. But in a lot of ways, we can express that to our children. Okay? Like in the church, we have a standard on dress. You notice that we have a standard on dress in this church. You go home and you're going to have a different standard. You better explain that to your children. Why you come up with that standard and it's different from the church. You know, I talk to my children about that. Because they see some of us that are close to us. And I don't want you to think that we talk about you. But we talk about this because they come to me and say, why do people don't dress the same way they do at church when they're out and about? I have my kids talking to me about that already. And I'm protecting all of us. Guess what I'm saying? Because God led them to do that way. But for us, this is the way God's leading us to do it. That's the best way to say it right now. Because I'm protecting you and you're protecting me. Because you come to this church, you have an influence on all of us. You understand that? So we're protecting that. So don't overly criticize other authority. If you have a sincere problem with an authority over the church, please come to us and talk to us in a private setting, and let's figure out what's going on, okay? If you have a problem with the teenage department, go to the teenage director. Talk to them about some things that are happening, and do it with humility, all right? Not condescending and not with a mean spirit. We're Christians, and we are to exhibit love and to talk about hard things kindly, but yet not ignore them, okay? So when do they hear parents criticize authority? That provides a problem. Number two we talked about last week is when they feel their parents don't love one another. No, oh, that's this, okay. Oop, drop a bomb on you. That's the third point. We're going to deal with that today. In review, when they see parents violate scripture. And I'm going to leave this to this point because I want to move on. It is better, parents, mom and dad, grandparents, uncles and aunts, if you are dead honest with the kids. When you have a problem in Christian, in your Christianity that you struggle with. Maybe it could be laziness. It could be lack of an appetite for the Bible. And they catch you not reading your Bible. They catch you not praying. They catch you not soul winning. They catch you not doing the disciplines of the scripture. It'd be better if your kids come and talk to you and say something that you admit maybe you're struggling with those things and provide them with this idea that there's hope, that you're working on it. Just like I kind of gave you as a pastor. I was teasing. I was being funny about it. But I do want to do better on my health, but I'm struggling. Did you just not see I did that earlier? And that's what I do, and you need to do that with your children. You are not superstar. You are not like the untouchable Christian that don't fail ever. Some of you believe you don't ever fail. You know how I know? Because when you get corrected or when you get talked to, you react that way. Like, huh, I don't even get what he's saying. Anybody that I've done now in a very kind way, I've had contradicted people, I've learned to say, no, we're not doing it that way. And I can tell very quickly, if you feel you're right, I can tell right away. I can tell right away. If you're too wrapped, I'm not gonna go there. That's a different message. Leave that one alone, all right? When you fail as a Christian, be genuine with your children and apologize when necessary. It's not weakness. In fact, it's super strength. And your children see you as a human being that God's working on. And when God helps you with that ailment, then they can only do one thing, praise God for it. And you bring them closer to the Lord. Now, number three, here's number three. I was talking about in teenagers, you see this when you openly criticize authority. And then number two is when they see parents violate scriptures. And then number three, when they feel their parents do not love one another. These factors are seen in teenage life when these things are present. Let me read you in my notes. I'm using some of my Sunday school notes that I didn't get a chance to cover. And so I'm using that from making homework from Brother Chappell. I'm going to give him credit for that. Let me read this on his excerpt. The seeds of insecurity sown in a young person's heart when she feels her parents don't love each other run deep. If you have difficulties in your marriage, determine together that you're going to work them through. Ask for pastoral counseling. Get individual counseling if necessary. Get whatever help you need, but don't give up on your marriage. No matter how many times you tell your children that it's not their fault, that you can't get along with your spouse, they won't believe you. At least not down deep. I'm not going to ask for the raise of hand. But is it nicer to be in a home where mom and dad are in tranquility and harmony rather than when they're at war? Where home would you pick if I had you to choose? That mom and dad are constantly fighting and have odds with one another about everything, or a place where they are seemingly in sync and there's synergy and they're in a unit and they work together. Not perfect, but yet there's some harmony. What home would any of you rather live in? You know the answer to that, so let's work on that. Well, it doesn't matter how mom and dad live. With the children. Are you serious? Are you serious? That you think that? Because it's seriously not true. It matters how mom and dad act together in front of their children. And like I said last week, ask your children. They know when you're not getting along. They know. They're not going to say anything to you. But they know when you're not getting along, and they're not happy when that's happening. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, talking about your wife, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now to the wife, Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And if we tell you not to talk about each other outside your home, let me say this, There's also those people that live in your home that you should not talk about your differences openly. There's something my wife and I are trying to work on. If we disagree on something, we cannot let the children hear. We're not hiding it from them. They're not able to decipher, and they're not able yet, and we're providing an atmosphere of positivity to them. We're providing an atmosphere of tranquility to them. But when we disagree, we take it on a different note. By the way, those that work together in the church, the staff, I'm trying to cultivate this. If we disagree on something, please do not let the whole entire church know. Don't find teammates. Not everyone has equal say in the church. I hope we know that by now. We feel like we all have equal say. Well, I like the carpet this way, and I like the carpet that way, and I like the paint that way. Who are you? Who are you? Oh, I come once in the blue moon. Are you even a member here? No? Well, then you don't have any say. I don't even have any authority over you if you're not a member here. Well, I'm just going to come and just be a part of it. Well, come watch us. Like Big Brother, come watch us. Free ad, free show here. Faith Bible Baptist Church members and pastor, how they react, because you're not even a part of it. That's why I promote church membership. Okay? Pastor, you're saying some things now that are like kind of like a pastoral way of saying it. Well, that's the right thing to do. Okay? Ephesians 5:33. We talked about it. Now, I'm going to say something very sensitive right now. And there's some very, very sensitive things here I'm going to say to you, but I need to say them to you. I'm going to do it the best way I know how. Divorce and separation is so destructive. Divorce and separation for the children is so destructive. I'm praying for those that are going through it and are suffering its consequence. I mean that sincerely from the bottom of my heart. Praying for single parents, those that are raising children, whether you're a mom raising children or you're a dad raising children, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for blended families. What do I mean by that? Well, not everybody in that particular house, maybe dad has a few kids and mom has a few kids and now they're together. I'm praying for you. All right, there's some difficulties that you have to face that is already difficult in the first place already. It's already difficult. And then yet that would provide that, all right? One thing that helped me when I was young was the fact that both my mom and my dad did not say anything bad to me about each other. And you know my dad is Randy Barron. And I call my mom as my American mom, all right, because she is my stepmom. My real mom in the Philippines, I lived with her before I moved to the United States at 12 years of age. But that woman, and I'm going to say something that I'm protecting my family, my parents. I'm going to say it as kind as I can, but I think it will help us because we live in a life where there's a lot of this, all right? A family that husband and wife and have children are very rare anymore. My mom did something that I will not forget and a favor to me in regards to my father. I've never met him until I was 12. But my mom in the Philippines never said any negative words in regard to that man. Never one time. Never one time. And it made it easy for me to come and see him whom I've never met before. And in my own personal struggle in my heart, why would somebody leave me, was resolved because my dad then finally says, I want you. And he brought me over, and soon after that, I got saved, and he was saved already. He's a different man. And today, we enjoy a wonderful relationship. I spent a lot of time with my mom and my dad, and they spent a lot of time with me because God is an amazing God. So for those that might be struggling in a blended home, I'm telling you, there's hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ. The idea is that we don't talk bad with one another, even though we are upset with one another. Find somebody outside. Pastor Cole can counsel people. I can counsel people. If you inner one, Pastor Seth can counsel. We will try to be very good. Our pastoral staff here has a lot of experience. And we could help you. Don't let the children hear your disagreements. Let not them see the innermost problems you have. Come to one of us, and we'll try to help you. If we can't help you, there's people that I know that are professionals, that are Christians that can help you. Okay? And so, think about that. All right? Let's move on. Number four. When they are not disciplined for disobedience. When they're not disciplined for disobedience. Stop making excuses, Mom, for why you're not disciplining your child when he is caught red-handed doing something worthy of discipline. Worthy of discipline. Let's discipline them when they are deserving of discipline, because it helps them in their psychological makeup. That's why I'm so against what's happening in California. I say it almost every time I speak. Why are we allowing people to openly steal worth $1,000 and let them walk out the door? Why are we not saying that's wrong? That is not right. Why are we afraid and said, oh, just let them be? No. If my kid is doing that, I'm going to have a problem with that. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. When your son breaks the curfew you establish, when your daughter continues to neglect her homework, when you learn your children have been hanging out with friends you told them very clearly to avoid, and there is no consequence, they learn not to respect what you say. And by the way, when your authority fails at home, it fails everywhere else. You're the first line of authority in a child's life as a parent. And when you fail there, they're going to fail to respect your mom and dad, their grandparents, and they're going to respect to fail their teachers. They're going to fail to respect their work, their boss. They're going to fail to respect the police officer that tells them, you can't speed that much. Who are you to tell me? When I do wrong, nothing happens, and now you're going to give me a ticket? Who are you? Parents, it is our job, as hard as it is, and I hate doing it, but I have to do it for the psychological development of my child. They need to learn that if they do something wrong, there's a bad consequence. When they do something good, on the ultra hand, we're so quick to tell them when they're wrong. Let's also be quick to tell them when they're right. When they do something, guess what? As speedily as you corrected them, speedily reward them for good behavior. Okay? Some of us are cynical. And we've learned to be callous and have what we call lack of faith on our children. They do a bunch of things wrong. Boom, 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 boom. Bing, bing, bad. Boom, 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 boom. And then they do something amazing. And we're cynical. I'll wait to see if that's for real. I'll just see. And your kid that is trying to earn your love, in their mind, don't try to develop this as a parent. Don't make your kid feel like they have to earn your love. They don't. They have to earn your pleasure. They have to earn your pleasure. You have to be pleased with their behavior. That's different than earning their love. Okay? I love them no matter what happens. But it would be nice, right, if they did what I told them. All right? So if they do something right, immediately tell them. I've stopped my kids in the middle of it and said, and sometimes with tears in my eyes, and I said, you know what, you struggled for that for so long. Wow, good job. Good job. And I don't boast to everybody else around. I just let them know genuinely from me to them. I'm so glad you did that. And there's power because their dad said that, because they're trying to, their glory of their children is to their fathers. And so they're looking to me to get the, what you call that, the affirmation or the, I'm looking for a word here, for recognizing they did right, the approval. They're looking for me to do that. And when I do that, it's so powerful, all right? So do both. I'm going to move on here, number five. When they are rewarded materially in spite of bad behavior. When they are rewarded materially in spite of bad behavior. There's some parenting out there that thinks that I have to provide for my children's wants all the time. And by me doing just whatever they want, I'm never going to encounter problems with them. So if they want a Nintendo Switch, I'm going to give it to them. If they want an iPhone 15 that blows up, I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to even get the Pro and the Max. Just make it all the way. And then it blows up, it's no problem. You know some of that phone is blowing up right now. But anyways, if they want this, I'm going to just give it to them. Oh, they don't like this food, I'm going to make a special meal for them. Well, you're not cultivating respect, because when they go to someone's house and that someone doesn't make what they like, they're going to go like this. Ew. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. In our culture, is that acceptable? Is that a sign of respect when a kid in your house that you're preparing food for says, ew, is that a respectable thing? A lot of heads going, no, 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 no. For those that think so, it's not. It is not. It is not cute that your kid cannot eat what's served them. Partly because you have not helped them. Pastor, why are you preaching? Because I need this. Because I'm raising children. And I can see my glaring fault. I need help. And if I need help, I'm sure somebody in here might need help. If at any rate, you can give me some advice. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A parent who thinks, if I just give them stuff to my child, he'll really love me. If I refuse to buy him what he asked for, we'll lose our relationship. It's being lazy. The truth is, your teen will not love you more for what you buy him. He will enjoy what you buy, but he will lose respect for you when he knows you won't ever tell him no. Parents, learn this word, no. Learn this word, no. By the way, if you have little kids that run to mom and dad and they have no apparent need, they don't need to be fed, they don't need anything, they don't need nothing. And you look, that's cute. The two-year-old just keep running to mom, 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 mom. That kid doesn't need mom. Tell that kid, get away. Go to your room. You have toys over there. If you need to be entertained, mama is not your entertainment. I'm not paid for you for me to do a bunch of things so you can be happy. I am not here to make you happy all the time. Go to your room. We bought you toys. Go play over there. And a mom is like, oh, I just don't know what to do. I got three kids running all over me all the time. Can they just leave me alone? Get grandparents. Get you some. Happy Grandparents Day. There's a bunch of them here. Get some grandparents. Mom, your kid someday will live without any dependence on you. And it's going to hurt your heart. But if you, at the time when you feel like they really need you all the time, and you don't ever train them to be on their own, they're going to suffer even worse. There's a proper way to teach someone to be independent. It's not wrong. You know when you start? When they're 2 years old. They already had snack. They have clean clothes. They have toys in their room. They have been fed. They don't need to be all over mom. Especially when mom is talking on the phone. And mom is sitting with somebody on the dinner table. And this kid is just like, mama. Get. I love the kid's bedroom because it's World War III in there and I can close the door. Yes! Nothing's going to hurt them in there except themselves. And if they're that stupid, then God knows. God knows. I love my kids. Don't think I say that because I don't love my kids. I love them dearly. I would die for my kids. But if we don't do that, it will hurt them. And they carry out a character of disrespect to you and everybody around them because they've learned to be catered to and they've never been taught to serve other people when you give them what they want, especially for bad behavior. Number six, when they are compensated materially by parents who pity them. Okay, kind of the same thing, so I'm going to move on with this. I gave you the story of Eli and his son, and God talked to Eli about this, all right? In 1 Samuel 3:13-14, let me read that to you. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house, who is blamed for the iniquity of the house? The kids are awful, but there was direct responsibility to the father. By the way, these men were old men. They were not kids. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. That's what we think. We think money, material things, gadgets and gimmicks and fun and Dairy Queen and that's cheap. Let's do a more expensive one. PlayStation, Xbox, or a phone, or let's go to Disneyland for you being a wicked heathen. Let's just go. You have nothing you have to earn. Mama worked hard. Daddy worked hard. You have the branded clothes because you're so cool. Mama can't even get a pedicure because you have to have Air One because you think you can dunk. I can show you a few dunk that you could do. Apple is coming around. Let's get some Apple dunking. All right, come on. All right, you can dunk with that Air One you're wearing. Seven. When they are allowed to participate in activities which they were told they would not enjoy unless they obeyed. You told them, if they didn't do this, they're not going to be able to do that. And then you cower and say, oh, it's okay, just don't do it. What you do is you cultivate kids that are rebellious and disrespectful. And we are raising a generation in our country of such kids and poor children. Poor children. Let's do our part as a church and as a family that belongs to a church like this. Let us work hard not to do such a thing. Those are your children and mine. You hear them? They're having a wonderful time. All right, guys. I'm going to say this because I'm the one that gave this. I gave this to my junior church people. All right? They're playing out here because our junior church people, I'm going to say something about our junior church people. They think of ways to be creative and help those children. And so let's bear with it because I need to be done anyways. That's when one of them retaliating, hey, Pastor, you're not going to get done on time. We're going to make you get done on time. But I appreciate everyone that is in that class that teaches and just let them be. Let them be. That's what's happening, okay? Let them be. If you have a problem with that, talk to the Holy Ghost. Only water in the church, all right? Only water in the church, all right? Let's be done here. 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, "Had the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams." So as parents, the way we develop respect in our kids is by us being respectable and showing respect to them and those around us. And that envelops all these things, seven factors that we saw. Let's remember that respect is a tool we use to influence others around us. It should be our lifelong pursuit to influence others for good, for Christ, not to be known, not to be popular, not to be well-renowned. No, but if you are respected, you are going to be a tool that God is going to use in a big way. If you're respected, we talked about it in the very beginning of last message, last week. If somebody you respect tells you something, how powerful is their words to you compared to somebody you don't respect? If I had to have you two choices, President so-and-so and President so-and-so, November, by the way, is election, so pay attention to that. This is as political as I'm going to get. President so-and-so, President, I shouldn't have done that. President so-and-so, with a different letter, both presidents. You're going to vote for somebody that you feel like you can respect their position and their policy, and you believe it. And it's easier for you to vote, and some have hesitance on the other side to vote, because why? We have a hard time respecting some of his endotes and his manner. I'm telling you, respect is so powerful. You want successful children not only when they're young, but when they get to be young adults and when they finally grow older. Guess what? If you can instill in them to be respectable, respectful, that's the way you do it. Because those people have a way of influencing the world and changing lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. If they respect you, they will listen to you. Your position sometimes demands respect. A pastor should be respected no matter what kind of a pastor he is because of the position. A president should be respected no matter what kind of a person he is because that position demands respect. A police officer should be respected, in fact, because of the position they hold. A teacher, a mom, a dad, a grandparent, a senior citizen should be respected because of where they are positionally. But oh my, those people in those positions would do themselves far better influencing other people if they learn to be respectable. Do you want your children to be respected? You want to be respected. And you want them to respect other people. Then please, eliminate some of these seven things that you have in your life. If it is in there, eliminate all of them. And ask God to help you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the basic principles of it. That really tells us how to help cultivate respect in the next generation, our children and our grandchildren. And Lord, we ask that you'd guide us, give us wisdom, give us a vision for our children, help us to see the potential. If our children grow up being respectful, how powerful tool they could have to help others even come to Jesus Christ because of a life and character of respect in their life. Challenge us, help us to be honest, help us to repent of things maybe that we're doing that we know we should stop, and help us put things in our lives that maybe we didn't even know we should have and we don't want to put in there because it's hard to do, but help us to put it in there for the sake of the next generation. Help our church here, help every family represented raising children from young all the way to teenagers and even to some of the young adults. I pray help us to have respectful children, we ask in Jesus' name.